Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, the little notify bell next to it on the YouTube if you always want your Going In Raw notifications. We upload daily, sometimes twice daily. We're also available on the Patreon.
Yeah, this will be the trophy.
We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. It's a great way to support Going In Raw. We've got 53 friendos watching this as a live stream right now, grilling us in the pre-show about everything from why I procrastinate too much to what the new office is going to be like, our new logo, all that kind of stuff. And you know what? We love it. We love them. They're great. There's the body. You're great. One day you'll get that shirt. We're also available. Oh, I should mention this too. If you're on a podcast app listening in, we advise you to check out the CastBox podcast app.
Yes,
we have a partnership with them. It's fantastic. It's a really fantastic app to check out.
It is.
And I just signed us up for a little profile, so I'm going to start responding to the comments.
Oh, I should do that too.
To the comments.
Because I'll generally go through about once a day and check to see if there's anything new.
Somebody says, okay, let's test really quick.
All right.
If I'm a friendo and I leave a comment that says, wow, I really love Going In Raw, what's your response?
Thanks, friendo.
Okay, let's try it again. Underneath that, somebody says, Steve and Larson are the best. What do you say?
Thanks, friendo.
See, we're there. We know what we're doing. Engagement. That's how you do engagement.
Yeah.
How about this? Steve and Larson, why aren't you posting on Spotify anymore?
Thanks, friendo. No, sorry, B. We're working on it.
We're working on it. Thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendo.
Oh, man. And then most excitingly, it's happening, Larson. The Pro Wrestling Tees sale is now. Huge Mania sale. 20% off all shirts.
Look at that graphic.
ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. And look at that. We got the new logo shirt. That's our new Going In Raw logo. Some people love it. Some people hate it, regardless of what they think. Thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendos. We're working on it.
Exactly. It's going on from today, Thursday, until Monday. So the day after WrestleMania, 12 o'clock. That's noon Central Time.
Yeah, yeah.
And use the promo code MANIA.
I'm going to try to get a shirt that just says friendo up before the sale's over.
That'd be good. That'd be good. You got to do it pretty quick.
I know. I'm going to try to do it tonight while I'm putting together Matt Chat.
Very exciting. So that's awesome. Go check those out. We've been getting a plethora.
I'm
going to
put a Twitter poll up about what font to use. Varsity or Cooper? I'm conflicted.
Oh, we talked about the Cooper thing. We have a great idea for the Cooper thing.
So Varsity
thing,
it is.
Yeah, Varsity.
Varsity
go,
it is.
Go with Varsity. On Heather Gray, right?
Yeah.
Is that the thing? Okay,
yeah.
Good. Do that.
I think that looks swell.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, Alex C here in chat makes a good point. He says, Steve's voice sounds on the verge of
going.
Yeah,
what's the deal with that?
I don't know. My voice is leaving me days before WrestleMania.
Rested.
Days. Yeah, I know. No, after today.
I mean, like tomorrow, you don't have to talk at all. Saturday, you don't have to talk at all.
Oh, I just realized, Larson.
What?
Today.
Oh, come on.
Is the last
this is
day.
This is still your house.
Today.
You still get to enter this room.
You know.
You're too sentimental. Forward. Look forward.
You know, February 20th, 2015, we received a call.
Wasn't it 21st?
Yeah, maybe it was 21st, 2015, so around third week of February. We received a call, and our bosses at our employers at the time said, hey, go F yourself.
Hold on, Sergio C says, get a shirt that says, thanks, friendo.
Thanks, friendo. Exactly. With your happy face.
Thanks, friendo.
They called us and they said, we don't want you anymore. You're on your own. Good luck. And so we were on our own. And in this very office, we devised a plan that at first did not go very well. Took us about a year to figure things out. But eventually we figured out, hey, there's not a lot of people doing this wrestling stuff. Let's try that.
Yeah.
It's either
this
that.
It's actually something we enjoy doing far more.
Exactly. It's either that or it's, you know, or you're going to go, we're going to be baristas and I'm going to work at Target. And then, and it's all happened in this office. It's all gone down here. And finally, this Friday, this is our last day of shooting in this office. We're moving our stuff tomorrow and Saturday into the new office. We're going to start filming from there. And this is very, very, it's exciting. It's sad. I'm going to have to leave my house now. On the other hand, I don't like when you come over because I like to take my time doing stuff. And then sometimes if I take too much time, I'm like, God damn it, he's going to be here at 10:30. And then you show up at like 10:44. And it's like I had 15 more minutes to like sort of dick around and do whatever I wanted to. I never know when you're going to show up.
Well, between 10:30 and 11.
I don't like that. That's like here, Comcast here. Levels no,
this,
of.
This is what it is.
It's too much of a window.
Mondays, Wednesdays, I'm here by 11. Those are gym days.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes me longer to get ready in the morning because I have to go to the gym.
I like that it's taken me. It's literally the last day of us filming for you to tell me your schedule.
You never asked. Whereas Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm available to be here around 10:30.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a good thing I know this. Now
to shave 15 minutes off each of those times, and that's what time I'll be at the office.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Sooner if necessary.
This is going to be, so for those of you curious, and I know you all are very curious, this is now going to be a split room between, so like, this is all my crazy wife's idea. This is Lacey's deal. Half of it is going to be her sewing room, because right now her sewing room is in the sunroom. So that's going to be empty, thank God, because I'm tired of that stuff in there. Half of this is going to be Lacey sewing stuff, and then the split, it's going to be half Alabama's room. It's because right now she don't have a room because I got so many freaking stepkids up in this place. And so it's going to be weird. I'm not going to have my own space.
Hold on, is your voice going because you're about to cry?
No, but
you do
I
have
can,
your own space. It's the garage. You have your gym equipment out there.
If you play some Sigur Rós for me, then I might cry.
All right, give me a second.
Or some like Sigur Rós, what's the other one that I cry at? I forget. But no, I don't know. Yeah, it's. I'm not gonna have my own space. I don't know. I don't know what to do with myself.
I really don't have space in my house for myself anymore.
That's your problem. You've never had space.
That's not true.
I demand space. I need space.
Well, usually if I want space, I go to the gym.
That's not space, man. That's just like where a bunch of sweaty guys are farting and doing stuff.
My gym's pretty small, so it's not full of a lot of sweaty, farty gentlemen. But on occasion, that does happen.
Yeah.
Usually, my gym's pretty empty. Usually, I more than space for myself, I just need some time for myself.
Yeah.
And that's my gym time.
A lot of people are asking for a gypsy run-in. Where is my dog? She's out there somewhere. I don't know. She's probably on my bed
out there,
or something.
Like tearing apart something she shouldn't be eating.
Probably. That's what she does. Anyways, yeah, man. I'm getting kind of emotional. This is very sad. This place is a shithole, though. Look at all the trash right here.
I know. The floors are all sticky over here.
I know. Look at this. Here, I'm going to do this really quick.
Let's see if I can do this without jacking things
up. Oh, you're going to mess everything up.
Look at all the trash down there.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Look at that. It's a mess. Anyways, yeah, this is very, very sad. Uh-oh.
Oh, you just completely ruined everything.
There we go. It's the NXT episode. Nobody cares. Who wins an NXT takeover? Who cares?
I care. It's going to be a fantastic show, but
right,
we're not
so
getting to
that. Let's talk about 205 Live.
Yeah.
So anyway,
speaking of fantastic shows.
Yeah. How did things start out with 205? What happened on 205 Live?
It started off
with Hideo Itami and Akira Tozawa.
Had a rematch against Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik.
Yeah.
Continuing the feud between these two tag teams to show who is top tag team on 205 Live.
Yeah.
Of course, at a certain point, probably right after Mania, they're going to debut and announce the 205 Live Tag Team Championship. So there's a physical object that signifies that you are indeed top tag team on 205 Live.
Right now, it's nobody knows who's top tag team because there's no physical object.
Well, also because every time these two teams fight, like there's no... Like it's DQ or something. Last night, in this instance, the match was going really well, tons of fun, and then they all start brawling in the ring. Ref tosses the match.
Yeah,
and so we've yet to see a satisfying conclusion of this feud, and we won't until the tag titles are introduced and one of these teams is the winner.
It's like gang warfare with these two teams.
I know.
Man.
Hideo Itami took out Lince Dorado's knee.
Yeah.
During this brawl.
Yeah,
it was pretty intense.
Yeah, man. Wait, who did what?
Hideo Itami took out Lince Dorado's knee.
Yeah.
Chop blocked him.
Oh, that's right. That always terrifies me. Whenever I see a chop block.
What happens in football, usually that means that person's done for the season.
You're done for the season. ACL tear.
But they're professionals. They know what they're doing.
Here's the thing, though. I love that. I really like this feud.
Yeah, same here.
You don't need convoluted storylines to come up with a good feud. Just one hothead on one team, another hothead on the other team, and they're going to, you put them in the ring together, they're going to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go at it.
People, so, these wrestlers want to compete. They want to compete at the highest levels.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people lose control of their emotions. And as you said, things get heated.
But this was a lot of fun. Okay. And I have to say this too. I meant to preface this, the recap with this. I guess you have to take the bad with the good and the good with the bad. Hot crowd. Same crowd that was wetting Daniel Bryan.
I know.
Maybe they were just being enthusiastic. I want to say this. I chastise the crowd for wetting Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I now want to say that's
good
awesome.
Job
that's
for,
awesome.
For saluting the quality of 205.
Because they were hot the entire time.
I
so,
think maybe they just want to be involved. They want to participate.
Yeah.
And yeah, wetting Daniel Bryan might be misdirected. But I guess as we saw, especially in the main event of 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was legitimate enthusiasm for the match, and they voiced it, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
After that brawl to start the tag or to end the tag match, we go backstage. Apparently, Drew Gulak was supposed to take on Mark Andrews.
Yeah,
tonight.
That was supposed to happen.
That match was postponed. They're saying so Mark Andrews could heal from the beatdown he suffered at the hands, I think, of Tony Nese.
Yeah.
The previous week or the match itself. So Drew Gulak had a promo.
He brought out a PowerPoint presentation.
He said he could have a multitude of slides.
I'm glad that they're kind of like...
But he just had one.
So, like, they didn't just completely drop it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're allowing him to kind of phase it out.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this new Drew Gulak. He said the same thing he did when I was impressed by it last time. He says, I am the premier, or he said, I am the best submission specialist in WWE. It doesn't matter how big you... I think he said that this time. He said, it doesn't matter how big you are, which is fantastic because, again, future-proofing his job.
Yes.
Meaning he can tap out even the guys on the main roster.
Yeah.
In case... Did you know... 205 Live. You see where it was in the ratings?
No.
Two.
Awesome.
Two. Number two.
That's fantastic.
It was, I mean, there wasn't... This is one of those weeks when there was not a lot of competition.
Yeah.
But still... It needs, on weeks where there's not a lot of competition, it needs to perform that
well. Yeah, it needs to be top five.
It does need to be top five. So
that's great. Number two, that's fantastic.
I know. I was very happy to see that. I thought it was a really effective promo. I really like Drew Gulak. I think this match next week is going to be gangbusters. I think this whole feud is going to be gangbusters. It's going to be kind of akin to the Mustafa Ali Drew Gulak feud.
Right after that, we had a Mark Andrews iPhone promo. Looked like he was shooting this from his apartment.
Yeah, it looked like it. He was on the balcony.
And he was just saying, you know, you're not gonna tap me out, essentially.
Hey man, you're not gonna tap me out, man, because I fly. I've got pictures of airplanes on my tights.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Tony Nese versus Jobber Jonathan Pierce. During Nese's entrance, we had a little video backstage that happened earlier.
Yeah.
Where Drake Maverick, the GM, was giving Tony Nese a bit of a pep talk, saying, "Hey man, look. You are nothing but untapped potential. You need to start tapping into that. I want you to go out there and show everybody why you're the premier athlete."
Yeah.
Again, simple stories.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't lived up to expectations. You're so much better than your record shows.
Yep.
Go out there and prove it.
Yep.
And I really like Tony Nese's character work in this.
Mm-hmm.
He was aggressive. Jonathan Pierce was like loud mouthing him basically.
Oh, at first, yeah. Until the certain point where he's like, "No, I'm done. I'm getting out of here."
Right.
And then Tony Nese chased him down, and Jonathan Pierce turned around and ate an elbow to the jaw, it looked
right,
like.
Right, right, exactly.
Tony Nese picked up the win with the running Nese, but we're getting more of... Before Drake Maverick took over, it really felt like, maybe more than perhaps anybody, Tony Nese really had to simplify what he could do in the ring to fit a particular character.
Yeah.
And I think now, just week after week, match after match, we're finally seeing more of what he can do. He has that like that Matrix thing where he avoids clothesline.
Oh, I love that.
He did
like a moonsault off
springboard
like
moonsault.
Yeah.
I really feel like we're finally getting the full Tony Nese now on 205 Live. I can't wait till he gets into a program with Mustafa Ali or Cedric Alexander.
There was a small
The guys who are super athletic. You know?
There was a small moment. I'd love to see him against Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
There was a small moment.
Oh gosh, that's gonna be good.
I know. Where when the ref raised his hand, and Tony Nese looked, it was such a small bit of acting, but he seemed validated, but in a way that was sincere and not, oh, just heel, I'm arrogant guy. It was like, hey, look at this. It was like this moment on his face where he's like, hey, look at this. I put on a good, I gave my effort and it culminated in a win.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me a little bit of a parallel when Almas started winning with Zelina Vega.
Kind of signaling to the crowd, hey, I can do this.
Yeah, when I'm not, exactly. Yeah. And to himself.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really great character moment. I really like to see more out of that from Tony Nese, and I think we're going to. Next up, there was a Lucha house party backstage.
Oh, this was... And Buddy Murphy comes in, and...
I love Buddy Murphy.
Oh, he's great. So he comes in and says, you know, we got a match tonight. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to keep it short. Mm-hmm. So you can get back to your friend here who's getting his knee mm-hmm. iced.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. That was really good. He's just a jerk, and I love it. And I really like that... I mean, it's fantastic. He said, I came here to 205, meaning I hope now... that he is going to be a staple for 205 mm-hmm. Live. And he mm-hmm. said he's gunning for the title. Mm-hmm. You're in my way. So whoever comes out of the Mustafa Ali Cedric Alexander
looks
match.
Looks like they're running to Buddy Murphy next.
I hope so. I really do hope so.
I mean, the Buddy Murphy Mustafa Ali match was it the quarterfinals? Semifinals of the Cruiserweight Classic.
It was fantastic. Yeah. It was great. It was really good.
So that gave us Buddy Murphy versus Kalisto. Fantastic match. They gave a ton of time.
They gave this...
like 25 minutes.
It was like 25 minutes, yeah, because it was like 28 minutes when the first entrance started, I think. And there's always like a little bit of milling about time. And then like some commercials. So yeah, they gave this... And this match was so... If you need evidence that they're letting these guys do what they can do, the only difference between this match... and something you would see in New Japan is simply the list of banned moves the WWE doesn't mm-hmm. want you doing. Mm-hmm. But then he did that running suplex.
Oh, on the apron.
On the apron.
Oh, my gosh.
Where Kalisto all like ate like a small chunk of apron and just landed like a thud, mm-hmm. landed with a thud on the ground.
Yeah.
That was just, I watched, I gasped when I saw it. Yeah, like, I know. Oh, God. There was that. There was when he like flipped him onto the
announce table.
Onto the announce table. I know. There was all sorts of like suicide dives and going outside, and then there was just some really hard hitting physical stuff inside.
A lot of good counter wrestling.
The bit where Kalisto got whipped into the corner and then tried three times to come out of the corner, and Buddy Murphy just powered him back in, basically saying, "If I don't want you to move, you're not going to move."
Well, that was kind of the finish of the match too. Mm-hmm. Where when I first watched, I was like, "Was that just not a seamless transition to Murphy's Law?" But I think that was a story they were trying to tell in the finish, where Kalisto kept trying to escape Buddy Murphy, trying to put him in Murphy's Law, and just couldn't do it. Eventually,
right,
Murphy
yeah.
just overpowered him.
Right, exactly. And that's absolutely fantastic. I thought the whole thing was great. I said this before, and I'll say it again: Buddy Murphy. It's not that the guy doesn't take matches off; he doesn't take moves off. There isn't one sequence, one move where you can tell this dude is earning his paycheck with every single move mm-hmm. he does. Like mm-hmm. he's getting paid by the move. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. I can't wait to see more of Buddy Murphy. And I'm so glad that they're treating him the way they should be treating him.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Next, we had a Drake Maverick promo where he's putting over first WrestleMania, but specifically the Cruiserweight title match.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling people, if you're going to Mania, get there early. Get in your seats early so you can witness this fantastic match.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was on the main card, then it wouldn't be such a concern.
I know. It was a bummer to... Drake Maverick, Rockstar's Bud. It still feels goofy to hear you call him Drake Maverick, but I'm getting there. It's he's such a wonderful salesman, and he has so much passion, and mm-hmm, he says, mm-hmm. this is going to be the show stealer, and I want to make sure that everybody tune in early. It's a bummer. It's to hear him plea for people to say, hey,
watch the pre-show so you can see this match.
Regardless of what they tell you, the pre-show is going to have like one of the best matches on the card, and it will be. It bums me out. It bums me out. Why they just can't take the 20 minutes they're going to need for this match from a bunch of other places out of a 7-hour show.
I know, let's take like 3 minutes from all the other matches.
Right, exactly. So I don't know, man. It bums me out.
Or just have the show run over 10 minutes.
But here's the thing. I think this match is going to be better than Neville versus Austin. Aries.
I think so.
And I think it will. And here's the thing. I think that it's... I don't know. Maybe I'm too close to the situation because we analyze this stuff for our jobs. But I feel like there's a lot of buzz behind this match. Mm-hmm. And so it would be something else if they made the kick... If all this build has made the kickoff show...
Must see, essentially.
Must see.
Yeah.
I hope people go in there thinking and saying, hey, I don't want to miss this match.
Yeah, that's... If I'm viewing it optimistically, that's my standpoint as well. It's like, okay, maybe they think there's so much buzz around this match, they're so confident in this match being excellent, that they think it'll be a draw for the pre-show.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at it optimistically,
I
understand that point. Still, yeah. I'd prefer the match to actually open the main card. I think that would be an awesome spot for it.
No, I think you're right. I agree completely. After that, there was a Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali video package.
Some brief little interview bits with some match footage from various matches.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know, kind of first, it did a full recap of the Cruiserweight title tournament.
Yeah.
At least with their matches and their road to the final.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was another strong episode of 205 Live. Mm-hmm. I hope it continues to succeed in the ratings. I'm seriously at the point where it's almost on par with NXT in terms of like, oh man, I'm excited. Especially like, you know, I don't always get to watch it on Tuesday. And so, I lost my train of thought. I saw Lesnar's fat face right there. I don't always get to see it on Tuesdays. Oh, that's what I was going to say. So on Twitter, you know, people always post up these GIFs these days of like some of the action, and it gets me hyped up.
Yeah,
I'm like,
too.
Oh man, I can't wait to see that. That's going to be good.
I know, me too.
I make sure, like, if I just catch like a little bit of it, I'm like, okay, I don't want to watch any, I don't want to see any other, you know, GIFs of it. Freaking Lesnar. His big fat baby face. Look at him. Look at that ugly smile. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
Save it for Dirt Sheet.
Nah, 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 nah.
Save it for Dirt Sheet.
Hey.
Let's talk about NXT. We got a lot of NXT to cover, not just the episode. We got to do our takeover predictions.
Ooh, hey, oh, predictions.
NXT opened with Charlie Caruso in the Control Center, giving us an update on the Dusty Classic.
I really wish when they did this that there would be like some Full Sail students there.
Oh, I know. She's in the Control Center by herself. There's people back there operating the board.
Exactly,
stuff
yeah.
Stuff on the monitors behind her.
Yeah, like a teacher saying, okay. And this is how you do a star wipe.
Yeah. You press this button here.
Press the star wipe button.
And there's a little slider you do to control the pace.
Exactly.
Of your transition. It was during this they finally acknowledged the fact that Bobby Fish is hurt and won't be able to compete at TakeOver. That happened like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Went straight from there to the finals. Authors of Pain versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. This match was a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, this was a blast, especially... No, I'm not going to say especially. Both these guys, both Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, trying to chip away at the Authors of Pain and both being like on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun to watch.
It was. They even hit their finisher, Bitter End of Heartache.
That's
on Rezar. Akam breaks it up. There's a spot where everybody's kind of laid out and they're getting back up. Undisputed Era comes in. They attack everybody. Ref says double DQ, tosses the match. Regal comes out and says, oh, you think you're real smart, huh, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly? Not smart enough.
Yep.
At TakeOver, it's going to be Authors of Pain versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne versus Undisputed Era. Whoever wins that match is winner of Dusty Cup and new tag team champions tag team champions.
I'm surprised. I'm sad that Adam Cole didn't do his dramatic step two. No, that.
Oh.
Or when he steps two. Exactly, yeah. You think you're so smart, don't you? I don't think so.
Next, we had a North American title match video package. This was great.
This was great because... Velveteen Dream. The great thing is those they filmed a segment for each participant
and then intercut it
in their own setting. So Velveteen Dream was like on a couch with like it's like it was only lit by TV. Well, it was only lit by TV.
Yeah.
So it was like a bunch of like you know like moving lights basically like flicker of
and
the TV.
EC3 was in a penthouse.
He was in a penthouse. Adam Cole I think was just hanging out with Undisputed Era.
Yeah. Yeah. Lars Sullivan was in this dimly lit thing with a bunch of cinder blocks.
Killian Dane was at like a junkyard of some sort. There was like, you know, a fire in a garbage can in front of him.
Yeah. And then Ricochet.
I don't know where he was.
His little bits were mostly close-ups.
Yeah, they were, yeah. And hey, remember my main gripe about Ricochet?
Yeah.
Is his promo stuff?
Alleviated.
Completely alleviated.
Yeah, man.
When you give him some good dialogue...
Well, I think also the thing, too, when we saw him at Strong Style Evolved, and I said this at, or not Strong Style Evolved, G1 Special yeah. USA, like when he tries to project,
yeah.
it like the pitch of his voice raises.
Yeah.
And this was just his normal speaking voice. Right, I said yeah. that he did promo for at a PWG show I watched. It was his normal speaking voice, yeah. and it was great.
Yeah.
I think so long as he doesn't try to project his voice, he's totally fine.
It was fantastic. All of his dialogue just hit perfectly.
Yeah.
It was great. So, yeah, and they intercut them all so you can see them all in their own spaces. It was really, really well done. We mm-hmm. were talking about this during the pre-show. Why is it SmackDown can't do build videos like
I know.
This? You know? Like,
do they literally have a smaller budget than both Raw and NXT?
Right?
I know. That's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like. Like, I don't know what design wizard is producing NXT's video stuff, but my God, it's beautiful.
I'm guessing it's Triple H.
And then the... you put everything in him. I love it. And then, like, the Almas Aleister Black build video was amazing.
Yeah.
All 24 frames.
Yeah.
Looked like it was on freaking film. Looked like we were looking at 35 millimeter.
Well, the Gargano Ciampa video package
yes.
is really well put together, too.
Yes, it was. It's all just amazing stuff. And I'm like, this is your developmental? Why are they destroying SmackDown
I know.
In the video production area?
I know.
You're putting up the, like...
Maybe it speaks to the quality of the Full Sail production program.
Could be. Hey, look, you know, you want to learn how to do... video production, go to Full Sail.
Maybe.
So anyways, yeah, that was fantastic. And then you said the Gargano Ciampa video package, that was really well done. Told a great story.
Yep.
After that, we got another match, Kairi Sane versus Vanessa Bourne.
Pretty short match. Kairi went over with the insane elbow.
Mm, kind of just a showcase for Kairi Sane.
Really. Yeah, although Vanessa Bourne got some offense in.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we had a Lacey Evans press conference.
So is she a time traveler? Is that the thing?
Yeah, I think so.
I think she's the time.
She's
travel.
From 1950s, right?
1950s, yeah. That's yeah. what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, an empowered divorcee, perhaps.
Maybe.
You know, like, I don't even know, man. Hey.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's obviously a time, like, who dresses? Nobody dresses like
that. I know. She's from the 50s.
She's
40s
from
or 50s, 50s, yes.
Exactly. They're like, hey, you know, have you got any texts from William Regal about your new, your opponent? What? A text message. What's that?
And she's like confused with all these devices that are in front of her.
Exactly. She doesn't know that she's leaped into the future.
No.
Anyways,
this is all set up a match, I think, between her and Kairi Sane next week.
Right, yeah.
Next.
Can you imagine being a divorcee? Like, every time I see, like, a show... Have you watched that... What is it called? The Miss Maisel one on Amazon? Oh, it's so good. But, like, you know, whenever anybody gets divorced in, like, a 50s
Oh, it's
period,
a huge thing.
It's, like, a massive thing.
It's, like, it's scandalous.
It's, like, terrifying.
Yeah.
Man. Anyways.
Next, Undisputed Era, William Regal backstage. They have a problem with Adam Cole specifically being in two matches.
Yeah.
At says, TakeOver.
Therefore, you think you're so smart, don't you? You've got three options. You can either be in both the North American NXT Championship ladder match and participate in the tag team title match with Kyle O'Reilly, or...
You can pull out of the North.
You can
American
pull out of the North
match.
American NXT.
Says,
yeah,
no.
He says not doing that, and then he says, "Oh, Kyle O'Reilly can participate in the match by himself." He looks at Adam Cole.
Come on, man. I know. And so, he said, "Regal says you're smart guys. You can figure
you can
it out.
Figure it out exactly.
So something's gonna happen. Something is gonna happen with this.
Is that something gonna be Donovan Dijak
or Roderick Strong?
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good. Yeah, man. Ooh, I don't know." I don't know, man. On the other hand, if Cole pulls double duty,
he'll
be the MVP of the show.
Gosh, yes.
Freaking
if he pulls out one of them, one of these matches, one of these titles, he'll be the MVP of
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next, you mentioned the Aleister Black Andrade Almas video package.
It was
really well
so
done.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Although it looked like the beginning stuff, where Aleister Black was in his environment.
His dojo.
Looks like he was sitting there naked.
Hey, that'd be cool with that, man.
After that, we had an Ember Moon promo.
It's like, it's the difference, sorry, not to go back to it, not to harp on it, but it's the difference between, like, listening to Pearl Jam's 10 and listening to whatever they crap out these days.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a sense of urgency and drama and tension
oh,
and
yeah.
hunger.
I know.
With the NXT video package, and then you go to SmackDown, it's just AJ Styles by himself interviewing himself, I guess?
Well, I feel like on SmackDown, they say, okay, what do we need to do to convey the story we want to tell in the
yeah.
simplest... most basic four impossible. Right. And that's just what they do for the most part.
What is that?
I don't know.
NXT has all these cool, like,
I know, it's very cinematic,
glitchy design, graphics and stuff.
SmackDown was like 2 months behind their graphic overhaul from Raw.
Right, exactly.
I don't get it. Anyways, Ember Moon promo, decent, is effective in relaying the story she had to relay.
Yeah, no, it was crap. She overacts, dude. She needs to dial down a notch
a little bit.
She's acting for theater, not for TV. She needs to act for TV. Here's the thing. As an over-actor, she's fantastic. So all she has to do is dial it down so that she's not moving her head all over the place and like just and projecting way too much. Like, dial it down a bit.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
And this whole, there's no ebb and flow to like her anger.
Right.
It was just constant.
It just felt like promo class. Yeah. That's what it felt like.
Finally, Lars Sullivan versus Killian Day. And as I said last week, this match had no finish. There's some decent back and forth. There's a spot where they're both on the second turnbuckle. It seemed like Killian Dane was teasing like a suplex to the outside.
Yeah.
They just hit each other off the middle turnbuckle onto the floor. Then Velveteen Dream runs into the ring.
People pop for him so hard. Did you hear Triple H putting him over on the NXT conference call?
What do you have to say?
He said the guy that stands out as having developed the most in the shortest amount of time is Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
And it's totally true. But then he put over all the new guys too, Adam Cole.
And then Adam Cole runs in and he does an Adam Cole bebe. Velveteen Dream does his pose. It kind of a bit of a pose off. It was great.
Oh, I love that. He was like, what do you think that is? And he did this.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, God, it was great.
EC3 comes down.
He's so
suit,
orange, man.
Still sweaty.
He is
even in his promo bit from his video package, he was still sweaty.
He's like, okay, don't mess this up. Can't go back to Impact.
Maybe. And then Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan get off the mat, get back in the ring. They're all staring each other down.
Right.
And then we see...
Ricochet. It was beautiful.
Massive pop.
Oh, God, he's my favorite.
Runs in the ring, moonsault off the ropes, does his pose in the middle of the ring, and then just looks at everybody else in the ring.
Each one at a time. And they did some fantastic camera work with some over-the-shoulder stuff.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, it was like, especially the Lars Sullivan shot, where you see like Ricochet, the back of his head is dirtying the foreground, and Lars Sullivan staring him down, just wanting to eat him. Oh, God, it was beautiful. I cannot stress the level of talent that is in NXT right now is off the charts.
That's insane, man.
This is a special time.
Yes.
The level of talent in that... in that ring, vying for the mid-card title is obscene.
Yeah, in a year, at least 3/4 of these people are going to be in contention for the NXT title.
Yeah.
If not titles on the main roster.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. Let's get to our predictions for TakeOver New Orleans, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
First, Undisputed Era versus Authors of Pain versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. Who wins?
So if Bobby Fish hadn't been hurt, I don't think it'd be
a triple threat match though either.
You really think so? What do you think the original plan was? AOP sent him on their way? Maybe. Undisputed Era goes over.
Oh, you got it. You write it.
Undisputed Era.
It's going to go one of two ways. Either Undisputed Era pulls some shenanigans, picks up the win, or Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne are going to pick up those belts. Authors of Pain ain't winning. No chance.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right about that.
So I'll go with Strong. No, it's Undisputed Era. Next, Ember Moon.
Come on, dude. They have to have that trophy.
I know.
The cup.
Next, Ember Moon versus Shayna Baszler.
Boy, this is a tough one.
It is. I like my story idea too much. I'm picking Ember Moon to retain. Shayna goes to the main, take on Ronda Rousey. It'd be such a great story.
If half of your story ideas pan out, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. You've been on fire with your fantasy booking. However, you know my philosophy. If you say it...
it's not going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. Shayna Baszler goes over and begins an epic run as NXT champion.
Next, Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa.
But your scenario makes all the damn sense in the world. Bring Shayna Baszler up. She's already ready. She's already polished. She's perfect to work with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She could be their hitman.
Yeah.
God damn it, they need to do that.
Yeah. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, Gargano.
Yeah, Gargano has to go.
Of course, yeah. Gargabo.
Next, North American title match.
This is tough, man.
See, in my mind, I could take Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane out of the equation because they're going to feud with each other afterwards.
Okay.
And I'm inclined to think we're going to get the same feud between Velveteen Dream and Ricochet because I think they've already gone back and forth on Twitter.
They have, yeah.
Which leaves Adam Cole or EC3. And if Adam Cole wins both these matches, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm kind of inclined to think that's going to happen. I feel like Undisputed Era,
they finally have to live up to their name somewhat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And on top of that, what better way to sort of get William Regal's goat, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to say Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Adam Cole, too. Though, I'm really going to be rooting for Ricochet. Because the debut he got last night was awesome. Awesome.
I don't, I seriously, like, this is a flipping dream match right here. Like,
it really
look
is.
At the talent in that
it
match.
Really is. Main
and
event.
That,
oh,
and that title is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Just beautiful.
Yeah. Finally, main event, I'm guessing. Aleister Black versus Andrade Cien Almas for the NXT title. It's got to be Aleister Black picking up the belt, yeah?
It's got to be Aleister Black. Triple H put him over as, like, the most popular superstar in, like, the history of NXT or something like that.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'm talking about what we already heard about. Didn't he say something like that? He's, like, quickly becoming the most popular star or something like that. I don't know. He is amazing.
Yeah, he's gonna be the new kind of Finn Balor of NXT.
The new Finn Balor. He's like Finn, Samoa Joe, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Their runs combined. That's gonna be Aleister Black right there.
I mean, I think Aleister has the potential to break Finn's record for the longest title reign.
If they don't want to rush him up to main roster, then you're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right,
mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be so much fun. My God.
Let's answer some questions. What do you say?
I say yes.
All right. Haven Elric, who has a better chance of winning the Andre Battle Royal, Lars Sullivan, or Cass? Since Cass is my pick to win it.
Cass is your pick, man.
Then I'm going to go with Cass.
Who has a better chance of winning it? Cass, you're right about that. Because they're not going to have a dude win it and then just go back to NXT.
No. Mitchell Elam, hey, friendos, is the North American title the best looking in WWE right now? What's your favorite belt right now in any promotion?
It's a toss-up. Here's the thing that I love so much about the NXT title. So the UK title is a beautiful-looking belt.
Yeah.
But it's still...
It's based on the WWE title.
It is. Yeah. And this one isn't. It's not based... This is based on, like, Triple H's, like, wet dream of an NWA title, North American title, from, like, you know, 1982 or something. Man, you know they've got episodes of All-Star Wrestling from like 1975 on the network. Like, I think it was WWF, but it might have still been Capital Wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, I saw it. Yeah, I think it's Capital Wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching some of it last night. It's hilarious because you have Billy Graham out there who is obviously on the juice and nobody else is, and they all look worse than me with trunks on. It's amazing.
Maybe in 75 it's WWF. Maybe it's called the show Capital Wrestling.
I don't remember.
I remember when they changed the name over. It was before 75.
WWF. Or that was like in the 60s.
Yeah, Bruno and stuff. Yeah. I mean, they changed the name, I think, when Buddy Rogers left the NWA. Yeah. What's your favorite belt right now in any promotion? Mitchell Elam asks.
Probably
I gotta say the IWGP heavyweight title.
I was gonna say either that or the Intercontinental Championship.
Oh yeah.
I mean they dolled it up so that it looks pristine, and I kind of prefer my belts to look withered, and the heavyweight title does.
Yeah.
But either of those, they're both beautiful. The new Ring of Honor title's looking good too.
Oh yeah. Kyle Steven, takeovers always have great cards and most times surpass the excitement of WWE pay-per-views. So for WrestleMania, replace your least favorite main roster matches and replace them with NXT TakeOver New Orleans matches to make the best WrestleMania 34 card. Put that North American title ladder match.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania.
Replace the United... Are we replacing?
Yeah.
Replace your least favorite... Yeah, replace the U.S. title match. With the North American title match.
Yeah.
Replace
Something in place for Gargano Ciampa.
Oh, man. If they said, what would you rather watch, Gargano Ciampa or Cruiserweight title match? It's a tough one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I might say Gargano Ciampa because unsanctioned.
Yeah.
Ooh. But it'd be difficult for me to do that.
I know.
I wouldn't be happy about it.
No.
Aleister Black versus Almas.
Well, it's for the NXT titles. Kind of has to stay on NXT.
Oh, well, I mean, the North American title's an NXT title, too.
But it's a new title.
It's new.
New.
It's new.
But
so
it's new.
Okay. Nemo asks, William Regal said that the North American belt was to be a regional belt, just like the UK one. If that is what the intent is, shouldn't Killian Dane not be in the match, seeing as he is from Scotland? Or Ireland.
Yeah, he's from...
is he Irish or Scottish?
Northern Ireland, I thought. Northern Ireland. Or Belfast. I think that's Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it's Irish.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, but same time, it's not a huge deal.
I mean, when they unveiled it, he kind of, like, said, there's a grand tradition of... And so, yeah, there's a grand tradition of sort of mid-card belts being named after territories.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does Intercontinental actually mean?
North and South America.
Right. But, you know, if you're not from there, you can still win it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Roderick Strong wants that United Kingdom title.
Exactly, yeah.
He's from Florida.
So, he's from Florida. So, yeah, I don't know. That's, look, there. You're absolutely right. But there are certain things in wrestling where I just don't care anymore. I just sort of look
I noticed that, too.
Call it the California belt. Who cares?
Yeah, just, I care more about great matches.
I care about good-looking belts.
Yeah.
And any title, here's the thing. That actually might be, my favorite across promotions because it has the picture of a continent on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, on the main plate, it has a picture of a continent.
Yeah,
yes.
Not just on the side plate.
The main plate.
The main plate. The featured attraction is a landmass.
Yeah.
How do you not love that?
Bear and the Cat Taxidermist. Larson brought up the other day that NXT should feature Mastodon on their next takeover. And Baron would absolutely lose his mind for that. But I think the point they tried to go with is getting over up-and-coming metal groups to fit what NXT itself does for the wrestlers. What obscure metal bands that you guys know would be the perfect for an NXT takeover event? See, that's the problem. I don't really know any obscure metal bands.
I am not well-versed in that at all. Like, I literally yesterday, I just downloaded the best of Marvin Gaye. So.
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
I know, man. It was really good.
So good.
There's a band that I like called Bully. They just they have a new album out.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really metal. They're more kind of a grungy sounding band.
Yeah, but they're kind of, they're on Sub Pop, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I that'd be cool.
That's a good answer.
Hey, look, man, I know we were talking about this yesterday. Yesterday, because we were talking about it during NXT, I paid more attention to what are they called? Cane Hill.
Yeah.
And I'm in it. I'm in, man. Right. I like it. I'm not going to like load them up my phone or something, but
right.
I like it. It's good stuff. I did like when they were doing the, during the Almas Black promo video package, how they were like taking samples from Aleister Black's.
Music. Yeah, that was
like
good.
The acapella kind of version.
Yeah, that was really
cool.
Good.
That was neat.
Captain fucking New Japan.
Captain fucking New Japan.
Saying that the Cruiserweight match will most likely be on the WrestleMania pre-show, would you rather have them have a killer match on the pre-show or a slightly disappointing match on the main show but still have the exposure? In essence, exposure is more important than match quality. Cheers. No, for me, match quality is paramount.
Yeah, so I'd go with a killer match on the pre-show because that elevates the pre-show.
Yes. Tommy T, hey friend, knows my question. How much do you think drawing power should be considered in someone's push or overall placement in WWE? Because while many people want guys like Seth and Balor in the main event all the time, they don't move ratings like Brian Owens or even part-timers like Shane do. I would kind of lump Owens in with the Seth and Finn.
Yeah.
I mean, I think right now there's only maybe three people that you could say would increase ratings and buy rates. And one of them is probably out the door. You got Cena, you got Lesnar, and you got Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
They're in an elite class, I think. I didn't think you can include Shane in that. Maybe you could when he first came back, but now no.
Yeah, if Shane's gone and he comes back, then you could pop ratings that way. I mean, Vince technically, I think Vince can pop ratings these days because he's never really around. We're not in the business, so like we can't really say, But I think there is a fine line between like using draws, but then you can use those draws to make new draws. And that's kind of what, and I'm not talking about draws, the wrestler draws.
Yeah. People who put butts in seats.
Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, look, it's not, I never say, hey, it's a no brainer to like put Finn in the main event because I don't think it is. Like you look at Seth's run as champion, it didn't really move ratings that much. Mm-mm.
But I don't know how often a heel champion
does that.
You know?
And so I don't know, man. I mean, it's just you got to build new stars.
And who's to say if you don't put the belt on Balor and give him some good creative, you could build him.
I know, that's the thing. Yeah, you have to use one to build the other. That's the time honored tradition. Impact's ratings were at 400,000 this week.
Wow, they've almost doubled their numbers.
For the Austin Aries Matt Sydal match.
Good for them.
Yeah.
The returning JC Zephyr. You guys are appointed as referees. Which wrestlers would you love to officiate, and what kind of match type would you love to be a part of? On one hand, like, I'd love to be in the ring with Kevin Owens and someone else who's a really good, like, talker during matches.
Yeah.
At the same time, I worry I'd laugh.
I know. I'd start cracking up. Yeah.
Or if, like, Cena's in there calling spots loudly, I'd probably crack up.
I know. Yeah. I would not want to call a Brock Lesnar match.
No.
He just seems like he would do what he
AJ
wants to
Styles
do.
AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins, because I'd just be standing there in awe of what they managed to do.
Yeah. And
then something like that.
Then they're like, hey, when are we supposed to wrap this up? What? I'm just paying attention.
I mean, you guys can go forever as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. He's like, fight forever.
I know.
You're the ref, dude.
What?
Like, I took out my earpiece.
Man, I'm just enjoying
Vince
it.
Is just barking at me and barking at me.
This
I took
is
out
too
my
much
earpiece.
Fun to watch. I'm not going to listen to him. He's distracting from the quality of the match I'm seeing here. Double T, hey guys, with NXT financially being a massive loss constantly for the company, do you think that this will eventually cause NXT to change in any way? I remember reading somewhere that it's a money loser for WWE.
Cornette said that. Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. I kind of feel like if they're investing the money in NXT, knowing that people, when they get to Maine, are ready to be catapulted into greater success, they might consider that a worthy investment. If they're losing, I'm just throwing a number out here because I don't remember what it is, $10 million a year in NXT. If they're making close to $1 billion annually in revenue, that's not a whole lot.
I agree,
margin is, what, $40 million or something like that?
Something like that. But here's the thing also. If all the chatter about TV deals are to be believed, it seems like they're going to get a windfall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they're able to bump it from 160 to 250.
Yeah.
Or even 300.
Or if they manage to get 400.
If they manage to get 400, which would be obscene. I mean, that profit margin is going to go through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they can afford. This was kind of interesting, too. Triple H, maybe we can save her the dirt sheet, but Triple H was saying that he'd rather do more takeovers.
I saw that,
than increase the time on the show. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Listen, I find it funny that anybody would want a second hour of NXT. It's perfect the way it is. 1 hour of all the best stuff.
I mean, that's just...
Why can't you have 2 hours of all the best stuff, Triple H?
Yeah.
I find it funny that you'd want to sit there for an extra hour. Really? But I really like it.
Nick Montenegro. Hey, Steven Larson. Never had my question answered, and I'm a new patron.
Uh-oh.
Do you think it'll be Cass or Samoa Joe as Braun's mystery tag team partner?
What did you say your pick was?
It's Cass. Oh, no. Cass won the Andre Battle Royal.
Who's Braun's partner?
Big Show.
People are poo-pooing, or Meltzer was poo-pooing all over my pick.
Mysterio. Yeah, he's hurt, man.
No, he's not hurt that bad. Well, I know it's a tag team, though. You can do that.
He's got a torn bicep.
Tanahashi had one. He was wrestling in the G1. Give me
that's different, though.
Why?
Because New Japan's, like, cool with that. Wrong. WWE's not cool with
the
that
The answer
stuff.
Is love and energy.
Oh, yeah, love and energy.
Air guitar.
It's not gonna be Samoa Joe.
I don't think it's gonna be another dominant guy. And I'm kind of on the fence as to whether Big Show's a dominant guy or not.
It's gotta be someone Braun has. You know, what I thought the other day, what if he comes out by himself, doesn't want a partner, and then like Kane comes out just to mess with him?
Yeah.
Given that their feud never really concluded,
that'd be cool. And then like the reluctant partnership.
No.
Oh,
like Kane just comes out to mess with him.
Oh, just to mess with him.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I wonder if they even know. Like, I feel like we would have known by now. Like, it would have been leaked, you know? But who knows? Broken Steve. What's worse, yelling at the crowd and then getting booed, or yelling at the crowd and hearing crickets like a Tommy did?
Oh, crickets.
Yeah, that's way worse.
Yeah, if you're yelling at the crowd and you get booed, that's the response you
you're
want.
You're doing your job. I do like his character performance a bit more these days.
Oh, yeah, though. All in champ Jose GGR. What's the better blood feud, Ciampa Gargano or Cody and Kenny? Right now, I'd give the edge to Gargano Ciampa because there's
really
more backstory, I think.
Yeah, okay. I was kind of leaning towards Cody Kenny. It's so hot right now, and Cody's doing such a great job. There's no wrong answer.
There is no wrong answer.
No wrong answer. Well, this is interesting. Trapezoid Jr. says, with his impressive showings on 205 Live, does Buddy Murphy live up to his nickname, the best-kept secret of NXT, now 205 Live? No, not anymore, because it's not a secret anymore.
Secret's out.
They rank number two in the ratings, and so the secret's out. He's no longer a secret.
Keegan Green, with Bobby Fish's injury making Cole do double duty, I see Dunn and Strong taking the tag titles at TakeOver entirely possible. They're almost my pick, too. Cole is looking likely to take the North American title, so do you think they will limit Cole's ring time during the tag match? Will likely open the show. Yeah, I think the tag match will open the show. I don't know if they'll limit his ring time. I mean, he's a young guy still. I'm sure his cardio is great.
I think Adam Cole would want to, if that's the thing, he's going to want to prove a point and kill it in both matches.
Yep.
Let's see here. Ronan Cahill was watching WrestleMania 30 again. Made him wonder if Hulk Hogan was to return at this year's WrestleMania. Let's say WWE's completely tone deaf. And then Roland Vince is like, yeah, put him out there. It'll be great. Which is totally within the realm of possibility. I don't think it is. But if that happened, the question is, what reaction do you think he'd get? It would be mixed at best.
Yeah.
At best, it would be like mixed. And there'd be some chance. Like, and it wouldn't be what? It'd be like, you're a racist. Something like that. I don't know, man. I don't think it'd go over too great.
Yeah, I don't think it'd go over well.
There'd be some people who like don't care, but I think a good chunk of the 70,000 people would care.
Oh, yeah. CM Punk finds it insulting. Power rank NXT wrestlers that'll surprisingly exceed expectations on main roster. He says Lacey Evans.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
That's a good pick. I don't know. So many of the people on roster have like really high expectations anyways.
I know.
It's kind of the problem with NXT. Sometimes they have like too high expectations and you end up like Ty Dillinger.
TM61.
Okay. That's a good one. I still think the world of Dakota Kai. I think she'll do great. She's like during Lacey's press conference when they're like, Dakota Kai. What do you think about Dakota Kai? It's like, whoa, number one, how'd you say that so smoothly so many times? It's a really hard thing to say. Dakota Kai. Jeremy Torres. Oh, good question. Do you think 205 Live going back to its original time slot will see a boost in the ratings since the mixed match challenge is over? It's possible. I didn't even think about that. I forgot that it's like
been delayed about a half hour. It could.
Because then SmackDown can advertise, you know, coming up next on the network. Instead of go to Facebook.
I know. People have to go to three different platforms to watch three different shows.
How fortuitous is it that, like, now that Facebook is coming under fire, that it's the Mixed Match Challenge is coming to an end?
Jeffrey Nguyen. NXT has the best hype videos for their matches. Why doesn't the main roster have the same kind of effect? Raw does sometimes. The Rousey, Angle, Triple H,
no.
Thing was really well
they
done.
They put money into Raw stuff.
They don't do that on SmackDown.
They don't do that on SmackDown. I don't know
why.
Why is it they produce that, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things about it, the Shinsuke Nakamura video. Why didn't they put that on SmackDown? I don't know how long it is, but it could have replaced something on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Put something good on there. You just put it on your website, really? Nobody gets on internet anymore.
No.
it's WWE fan. Oh, there you go. My bad.
Oh, it was 37 minutes.
Oh, man. That'd be cool.
That's why it wasn't on SmackDown.
Like a third of SmackDown.
I mean, yeah, that'd be cool. Did you hear that apparently Cody was invited to the Dusty Classic Finals? Because they showed Goldust was there.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention that during the recap. That they said, the legends are out in full force. And we got to see Michael Hayes. That was awesome. And it was a, like, extended shot of him. Terry Taylor
briefly, and then Dustin Rhodes then backstage Dustin wearing Rhodes. The polka dot tie.
Yeah, so he was invited.
They always wait. What is, they so always very kindly do. That's for Regal and the students. It's their moment. I personally can't honor him by standing next to a trophy, even as beautiful as that trophy is. They do a great job promoting, protecting his influence and legacy. God damn it, I love Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, he's a pro, man.
I freaking love Cody Rhodes.
He is a pro through and through.
Buying one of those shirts. I'm doing it, man. I'm doing it. Looking forward to it.
All right.
That's it?
Yeah.
For the show?
Yeah.
I'll wait for the dirt sheet.
Are we going to see Waterworks during dirt sheet?
Maybe.
Oh, goodness. It's possible. It's not even the last video that's going to go up from here. That's Matt's got on Sunday.
They understand the deal. I know. Right. What matters is the last thing we film.
All right.
And I'll make that clear. And then I'm going to start taking the set down during the show.
All right.
I'm going to do that. So anyways, that's it for now. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Hilton, can I get some music, please?
No, Hilton. Hilton's not here.
He's right there. Thanks, buddy. Look, you hit the button right and everything. Now
you hit the button right.
Now this.